If you'll turn now to the fourth page of your notes of Foundations for Spiritual Gifts, we'll look at page number 4. The parts of the body don't change. Your foot will never become a hand, and your eye will never become an ear. But if you've ever had a baby, you see how those parts will grow. A baby's hand is so small. But as the baby grows and matures, that hand gets bigger and bigger. And you know, it's the same way with the parts of the body of Christ. They don't change. Your spiritual gift will not change, really. I've never had someone changing spiritual gifts, one gift for another, or one year they'll have a different gift from another year. The gifts are pretty constant in your life. But they do grow. The word for that line is grow. And just like a child will grow and the parts of a child's body will grow, so you, who are part of the body of Christ, will grow. And it is important that we develop our spiritual gifts. Develop our spiritual gifts. You might ask, why is it important if we develop our spiritual gift? If it's freely given by God, a gracious act of God, and it's not deserved, how can I develop it? Well, God will give you the raw material to work with, and it's up to us to do it well. A child might be really good at baseball or at soccer or maybe working on computers, and he might have the raw talent or the ability to do something, but that child will never really excel in any of those activities unless he or she pursues them and practices them and applies himself or herself to those things. And so it is with our spiritual gifts. God has given you the special anointed ability to perform your functions in the body of Christ. But we can learn more about our gifts, we can study about them, we can exercise them, we can try new things out, and we can learn the hard way, as we often do, and just grow by experience. And the person who's been exercising their gift in an intentional way for a long time will tend to develop more and more and become more and more effective in their use of that spiritual gift. So I encourage you to apply yourself to the raw material that God has given you and develop and perfect and excel in the areas where He has given you the ability. Then I would ask, how long do I keep a gift? Well, basically, as long as you're a Christian. And I might say, as long as you're alive. See, there's this verse in Romans 11. It's not in your notes, but it says in Romans 11:29, God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. Now, I don't know all the theology about whether a person falls away or not and what happens to the gift, and I'm not too terribly concerned about it right here, but I just wanted to note that you'll have your gift as long as you're around. It's not going to go away. You don't need to wake up and worry about, well, my goodness, maybe my gift's going to disappear tomorrow or today, or if I'm not careful, I might lose it. You're not going to lose it. It stays with you. God has given it to you, and there's no mention anywhere that He'll ever take it back. Let's then do an inventory of the gifts. You may know with certainty what your gift is. You may be still exploring the possibilities. You'll probably find you have several gifts, some being stronger than others. First passage we can look at is in 1 Peter chapter 4, the same place where we looked earlier at verse 10, that we should faithfully administer the grace given to us through our spiritual gifts. Verse 11 says this, "If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides." See, these are not specific gifts in and of themselves. They're speaking of the two general ways that you express your gifts. One is through speaking, and the second is through serving. So every spiritual gift that we have either comes out of your mouth or out of your hands. So we're either speaking or serving or both when we use our spiritual gifts. And those are just a couple of major categories, whether we're expressing something with our mouths or with our actions. Let's look then at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, we'll be looking at verses 6 through 8. And this is our first list. Romans 6 through 8 says, "We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Prophesying, that's the first one, or the gift of prophecy. That comes from the Greek word meaning to speak for. We're speaking for God, as it were. Not a whole lot of people have this gift, and it should be tested when you run into it. The prophets may express something of the future or of the present. Next one there is, if it is serving, let him serve. This is someone who loves to serve the church or serve the body of Christ in some specific way. It could be just washing dishes or fixing or working around the place or helping people out in need. People who take great joy and are particularly effective in doing so. Then if it is teaching, let him teach. To teach in this sense is not simply to disseminate information, but to express something to the hearer so that the people listening catch the meaning and change, or really in a deep and greater way than you might normally have with an average person's, a spiritual anointing to help someone bring a message across that really impacts people's lives. Next, if it is encouraging, let him encourage. This is also termed the gift of exhortation, and this can be encouraging a person who's discouraged or exhorting a person who maybe is going down the wrong path of life. It could be even in a form of rebuke or of a challenge. This is the gift of God to a person so that beyond the normal ability of an average person is able to impact a person's life in going in a particular direction. Next, if it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. The gift of contributing, otherwise known as the gift of giving. This is the gift where a person goes beyond the biblical commands to giving or beyond tithing with a joyful heart to give tremendous amounts of their possessions or of their finances to help the kingdom of God forward. Next, we have the gift of leadership. Person who's able to lead people in a particular direction to provide motivation and vision for a group of people to follow the way that the Lord is leading them as a body. Then if it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. These are people who have a great compassion for other people, beyond what you would normally find in an average person. People with a gift of mercy might be like Mother Teresa, or in smaller ways, people who just go out and help others in need in their own neighborhood or town, people who pray a lot for others with a deep burden on their hearts for the well-being of another person, often pray through the motivation of this spiritual gift. Then let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I've given you a lot of space here on 1 Corinthians 12 because there's actually two lists in 1 Corinthians 12. First with verses 8 through 10, and then verses 28 through 29. So let's look first at verses 8 through 10. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Now the message of wisdom, or also called the word of wisdom, that word message is the term logos, which is also translated word. Message of wisdom is a person who, beyond their normal ability to understand or have information about a particular subject or a particular problem, is able to discern and to see into a situation or problem to find out a solution or to understand what direction needs to be taken. Then to another, the message of knowledge, or also called the word of knowledge. This is a gift that's interpreted in a number of different ways. The one that I think is most effective and the one that I go by is that people who minister or to pray for others, help others or counsel others, are sometimes led by the Lord or given information or a sense of that person's need, a particular insight into that person's life, even beyond their own knowledge of that person, where they might feel led to pray or counsel or to talk in a certain way, and that person who's receiving the ministry might be surprised at their ability to know that. This is the Lord wanting to touch and to bless people, and so he helps others to help them. Then we have to another faith. Now, all believers have faith in Christ, but faith here goes beyond the normal faith that we all have to those who live by faith in a big way, who perhaps really step out by faith and take great risks or have tremendous vision given to them by the Lord. People who found organizations, who start great movements, people who others might think are crazy or can't believe that they're willing to do something or take such great chances, but they operate by a tremendous faith in the Lord that God's going to see them through. Then to another, gifts of healing. Now this is a plural. It says gifts with an S. Healing people of different kinds of diseases or different problems. Now we're all called to pray for people's healing, but those with the spiritual gift of healing seem to be ones who find that their prayers are particularly answered more often than not, or ones who, to a greater degree than the average person, find answers to their prayers when they pray for someone. Then we have, to another, miraculous powers. Now, this is not a real common gift. Miraculous powers would be things other than healing. For example, Jesus multiplied the food or rebuked the storm and it disappeared. Miracles that help the gospel move forward or free people from bondage or in some way build the kingdom of God. We have there again listed the gift of prophecy, which we've looked at already, and then the distinguishing between spirits, otherwise known as the gift of discernment. You can just use that one word, gift of discernment, which is the same thing as distinguishing between spirits. That is, one who is able to have insight into whether something is truly from the Lord or not, or what is coming out of the heart of someone who's performing something or saying something. People are able to see into the spiritual nature of something that is said or done to a more deep level or a quicker ability than one might normally have. Then to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. Now this is a gift that has different interpretations. One we see in the book of Acts chapter 2 is that the Spirit is poured out and people are speaking languages that others actually understand, and it's for the purpose of expressing the gospel to others. Now in chapter 14, verse 14, Paul speaks of praying in the Spirit, of singing in the Spirit, and it also mentions in verse 15, and some people, whether rightly or wrongly, interpret that as being the gift of tongues too. But I'm not going to get into that right now. I'll go on to another gift there. He says the interpretation of tongues. Now also, in 1 Corinthians 14, he says that if anyone speaks in a tongue, that someone must interpret. That's in chapter 14, verse 27. If it's especially done in a public setting, it needs to be done in a proper and orderly way. And the interpretation is so that others may hear what it's actually said in English, so that there may be edification for the believers. Then let's look at verses 28 and 29. He says, in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles. Now, the apostle comes from the Greek word to send, or a sent one in its noun form. We use the term Apostle Paul. That's because he was sent to the Gentiles. This is also a gift that's identified with missionaries, or people who start movements or bring the gospel to where it's never been before. Some even use the word gift of missionary to mean the same gift of apostle. That is one who is sent from where they are to another place among a different people to further the gospel. Then we have the gift of prophet, which you've all already looked at. Then third, teachers, which we've already looked at. Workers of miracles, we've already seen that gift. Then those having gifts of healing, and we've looked at the gift of healing. Then those who are able to help others. This is also called the gift of helps. That is a person who is like the right-hand man, the strength behind the leader, one who's gifted to help the leadership be more effective in leading the body of Christ. Then we have those with gifts of administration, those who are able to help people who have various spiritual gifts be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing, having what they need to perform well, and making sure that the whole body of Christ functions and moves effectively. That would be the gift of administration. And those speaking with different kinds of tongues, one that we've already seen there. Let's look then at Ephesians chapter 4. Now in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul mentions five gifts, and actually I'd call them gifted offices, or these are roles, or in many times professions, people who perform something maybe full-time based on a spiritual gift. In verse 11, it was he who gave some to be apostles. Now we've had that. Some to be prophets. We've looked at that. Some to be evangelists. An evangelist is one who tells another person about Christ. Evangelist might be in front of a big crowd of people, or the gift of evangelism can be shared just one-on-one with your friend or your neighbor in the privacy of one's home. Then some to be pastors. This is the leader of the flock, the shepherd, the person who makes sure that the body of Christ is being cared for and is in good health. And then we have the gift of teacher, and we've looked at the gift of teaching already. Well, that's the main list that you have in the New Testament, and the spiritual gifts are generally going to be among those. Now, there's some other possibilities that people suggest might be spiritual gifts, and I'm not quite sure, but I'll just give you three of them. First one is way back in the book of Exodus, chapter 31. We have here in chapter 31 of Exodus, from verse 1, he speaks of a man named Bezalel. And the Lord says in verse 3, I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, ability, and knowledge in all kinds of crafts to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze. And this was all to perform work for building of the tabernacle. Some would suggest that this might be called a gift of craftsmanship or artistry. That is, the artistic ability given to the glory of God. You can do with that whatever you like. Another one comes in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Here we see in verse 13 that Samuel the prophet anoints David, and it says, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Now Saul was misbehaving himself, and the Lord sent an afflicting spirit on Saul, and we see something happen in verse 23, 1 Samuel 16, 23. Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. We have here David leading in worship and having a tremendous impact on Saul, blessing Saul in a great way. Now, if this is a gift, it would mean one who was anointed or gifted by God beyond that person's technical ability at playing any given instrument, to be able to impact the hearers or impact the worshipers, so that when this person leads in worship, those who worship along with this person are blessed in a tremendous way. Last, a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in which Paul is talking about marriage, and his concern for the church is that if husbands and wives are apart from each other, they'll get in trouble because of their lack of self-control. And he says in chapter 7, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians, I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now what he's talking about here is the gift of celibacy. That's one gift that you probably will know whether you have it or not. I'd like to close this study with an encouragement to you to go and try it all out. And on the bottom of your page, you have elements of discovering your spiritual gifts with a little memory device that I call EJECT. E stands for explore the possibilities. That is, explore the possibilities of what your gift might be. You know, you never really know for sure until you try something out. And if you fail or don't do so well, so much the better. That'll help you get directed in the way that you should go. J stands for examine your joy level. I've never seen a person with a spiritual gift who didn't enjoy doing what God gifted them to do. And if you have great joy in doing a particular thing or performing a particular function, that's an important thing to look at. E stands for evaluate your effectiveness. Effectiveness. Do you have results when you do things? Are lives changed? Are people impacted? Do things happen? C stands for confirmation from the body. What do other people say? Does anyone come up and say, you know, you were really good at that, or I was really blessed by something you did? Things that other people encourage you with are important to listen to. And T, take off in your ministry. As you start getting that direction, know that the Lord has a place for you. Remember, the church, which is the body of Christ, is people. And each one is gifted by God to serve in His kingdom. That means that you have been gifted by God to serve in a place that He has designed in His kingdom. I look forward to seeing the Lord working through you. For the joys of serving the Lord, the way the Bible shows us, are great. And the results, as they impact the lives of other people, are eternal. God bless you.